This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced the state's indoor dining ban is going to continue at least through February 1st. She added that the state's Department of Health and Human Services would allow some indoor exercise classes to resume soon. With the holidays now over, Michigan's businesses are facing long, cold, dire weeks of winter. So many of the shops and restaurants we love have already been lost to the pandemic. Is there any way to improve the chances of those that remain? The folks at Design Core Detroit have been thinking about ways to help retail and restaurant operations. These were outlined in a recent video post. Design Core's executive director, Olga Stella, joins us now to talk about them. Olga, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks so much for having me, April.
What does design thinking have to offer us at a time like this?
Well, design thinking is primarily about problem solving, and we've got some big problems to try to solve, especially if you're a small business owner trying to figure out how to make it in our winter conditions.
What kind of businesses had you and the team been in contact with? And I'm just kind of curious who you had in mind when you sat down to think about this.
You know, we've for the last 2 years run a competition, a design competition for small businesses that welcome patrons into their doors, you know, our restaurants and retail establishments, really had them in mind. This summer, we were able to repurpose some generous funding from Bank of America to help three businesses make changes to their physical locations so they could be better equipped to survive the pandemic. And as we were thinking about winter and really thinking about, you know, how are businesses going to welcome patrons? How are they going to get through the winter if they can't have people inside their spaces in the ways they're normally accustomed to? We really started to look out for, well, what are the solutions that are happening in other places, either in other UNESCO cities of design or other places around the country?
I saw this Onion headline the other day that read, Michigan restaurant server asks frozen bodies of dining couple on outdoor patio if they'd like to see dessert menu.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's right.
I mean, it's grim, but at the same time, I think it really speaks to the stakes for businesses right now and our communities, right?
Right. And it isn't as simple as always putting up, you know, one of the igloos, which is definitely a possibility. But we are in a pandemic. It's not just about physically being outside. It's about being outside in a safe way with the proper airflow and all of that. It's a lot on business owners to try to think through. And part of our message is there are architects and interior designers and others who can really help you think that through, you know, consult with you and just help you try to come up with something. We know that many of these small business owners, especially in Detroit, they are cash strapped right now. They can barely figure out how to make it happen. So what are some of the solutions? How can they, in an inexpensive way, try to keep slush, you know, away from the doors of their business or create some wind protection? There are a number of ways that you can do this. It just requires a little bit of creativity, and sometimes it might require a little bit of outside help.
Is there a starting point for thinking about user experience in this way?
You know, part of what we've been encouraging is for business owners to really think about what is the main thing that they are trying to solve for. Do they need a better way of accommodating their guests while they're queuing to come inside their store or doing carryout pickup or something like that? Are they trying to create an outdoor space for dining where people could, you know, stay in the space and eat their meal? Is it marketing? Are they trying to do is solve for a visibility problem and create more visibility for their business on their street? If they can really identify what's the key thing they're trying to solve for, and then start to think about winter conditions and things that would make it difficult for them, you know, whether it's slush or precipitation, wind, you know, those kinds of things, the need for heat, then you can start to make some priorities around, well, how am I going to solve for this? Am I going to build a simple raised platform in my parking space in front of my business? Am I going to take part of my parking lot and create a little bit of a windbreak and create a little bit of an outdoor room just using some basic, you know, materials? Am I going to try to do something to the exterior of my building that just clearly delineates this is a protected kind of waiting space, if you want to come in, and just start to break the problem down into its component parts and start to figure out what those solutions are.
The video outlines some interesting options for heat. Can you run us through some ways to warm up the outdoor environment that might not cost an arm and a leg?
I mean, I know a lot of people are looking at propane heaters and electric heaters, and those do have constraints. You know, the propane itself can be expensive. If you don't have outdoor electricity, that can also be challenging. But one of the best examples, it's a really, really fun example, and it looked like you could do it for under $150, is this modified version of a Katatsu table, which essentially is a table with a small, thin electric heater on the bottom of the table that you can easily attach, and then a blanket that goes over the table. And in Japan, in Hokkaido, Japan, these are in regular use. And your lower body is really heated up sitting underneath the blanket by that electric heater. You can be relatively comfortable outside.
Yeah, I know people will know what I'm talking about if I say they're the tables that food gets cooked on at Benihana or
right.
places
right.
like that.
You know, I haven't been to Benihana in a while, so I'm not sure if they use the blanket piece of it, but that blanket, and you can interchange that blanket out. You know, you get a bunch of flannel blankets, not too expensive, and just change them out in between your customers.
You also borrowed an interesting idea from a design contest in Chicago, and that's the wind protection that we can get from a potted tree formation. I mean, how many trees do you need to have a tangible effect?
Well, I think it depends on how big your space is, right? In the video, you know, we show examples. It was a company called Stantec in their Boston office. They created a gigantic tree barrier in a big parking lot as an example. But if you're a small storefront and you're just trying to create a little bit of protection, I mean, it might just be, you know, one or two evergreens or even like small bushes, you know, in a kind of a raised, if you already have planters out front, just thinking about kind of those small evergreen bushes that can just create a little bit more height. You know, one of the fun things that the Stantec office in Boston came up with for this dining competition was the idea of using snow. If you're already moving snow around in your parking lot, can you build up that snow so it creates some of that wind protection? Be a little bit more intentional about it. You know, this is where designers are really helpful because they can look at space and help arrange space in a way that then executes these ideas. And that is a skill that requires, you know, some training. You may have some natural skill at it, but this is why people go to school, right? To go to design school, is to be experts in this. And so there are lots of designers in our community who can offer that kind of advice and help a small business owner, you know, think through what is the simplest, easiest way for me to create this wind protection, create some of these just visual amenities also that will help more people see my business and want to use my business more this winter.
Olga, you mentioned the igloos that we've seen popping up, especially at some restaurant and bar locations. They look kind of like miniature Buckminster Fuller balls with plastic webbing over the
yeah.
top. I wanted to just ask you what you think of them. I mean, if we can put aside the possible health benefits or detractions in something like that, just what you think of them. I can't help when I pass by them but thinking they kind of exclude us from the kind of experience that I think a lot of people want when they go out.
Yeah, it's not maybe not always an ideal choice, but I think we're also recognizing everybody's doing the best that they can. In the research that we did, one of the things that we're seeing is you can also, and again, a lot of this, you know, I want to be really clear about kind of accessibility and the ability of small business owners to execute some of these ideas. You know, a better option might be to build a simple, like, three-sided structure, just like with a leaning roof. And, you know, there's some examples of that in the presentation as well. But it does require actually, you know, going and getting the wood and having someone who has some carpentry skills who can help you figure out how to design and build that. If you don't have that and you're trying to figure out how you're going to at least have some social interaction for some of your patrons at your business, the igloo or there's a number of other kind of plastic tents that you can get, that might just be the best option. It's not necessarily, I think, ideal from air circulation perspective. So definitely want to caution about, you know, what the health implications are. And you're right, it creates a sense of an exclusive space for a small number of patrons, which isn't what is usually happening inside a restaurant or a bar. But I think we all kind of recognize all these business owners are going to have different means by which they can execute solutions. And so some of them are going to be somewhat imperfect. You know, we're not going to be able to get all of our goals necessarily.
Are there businesses that you're missing that have closed up?
Oh, you know, I mean, I could probably go through some restaurants and worry about some restaurants that have temporarily closed. But, you know, we've been trying to stay in good touch with our friends and patronize them and gave a lot of gift certificates this winter for a variety of the small businesses in the city. So it's hard to start to go through a list of names, but I know it's really appreciate the struggle that our small businesses all throughout the region are going through right now and trying to keep those doors open. Just really appreciate what these business owners are doing, because they bring vitality to our communities.
Are there places you know of that have been able to hold on because of innovations that they've made in their physical environment or the way that they do business?
Yeah, two good examples. One is Folk, which is one of the winners of our Commerce Design Refresh grant this summer. They've really just worked on changing up their business model to focus more on carry out and kind of walk up. You know, you see that with Mudgee's in Corktown as well. You know, they've really embraced the outdoors and figured out that outdoor space and completely transitioned to an online ordering system and to more of that commissary. A number of the restaurants that have kind of figured out how to work commissary operations in, and I think are holding on.
Olga, what do we mean by commissary type operations?
So it's more like a grocery. So you're going in and you're buying your olive oils and, you know, baking products and other kinds of things. Sister Pie is doing the same thing. So in addition to buying, you know, the finished, you know, pies and cakes and goods, you can basically order a list of groceries from them as well.
Right.
And so a number of places are doing that. The businesses that have really thought about what their added value is beyond just what they traditionally did are the ones that are finding some other ways to bring money in. There's a ton of really fun marketing stuff that's happening too. And I think the Peacock Room and Frida and Yama, that trio of businesses all owned by Rachel Lutz, really exemplifies like just the way that Rachel's been using social media and online sales and the idea of like a Facebook sales party. You know, we haven't talked about events and ways to bring people together, but that is also something business owners can start to think about, is how can they give people a reason to want to come to their business this winter, even if it is cold outside. You know, these outdoor improvements, if you think of it almost like I'm creating an outdoor extension of my business space, but then how do I activate that? Well, maybe through some special events that, of course, you know, are done in a safe, socially distant way, but just a reason for people to come. And there's a lot of those kinds of things that are happening throughout the region.
I think a lot of times people tend to think about design as a tool that only high-end businesses can afford. Where should people go if they're looking for help with these issues?
If there are small business owners listening to this who are looking for help, whether it's for, you know, marketing or website design or any of these kinds of physical improvements, Design Corps does have a member network of design businesses that are throughout the region, from freelancers to larger companies. And we are very happy to help make connections to business owners who are looking for designers who can help them, not just with their physical problems with their business, but also with, you know, all the other kinds of design help, digital and marketing and so on.
Olga Stella is the Executive Director of Design Corps Detroit. Olga, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.